Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. Welcome to the 450th broadcast of the Technovation podcast. In this special episode, I'll be discussing the coronavirus pandemic with Anousheh Ansari. Anousheh is the Chief Executive Officer of XPRIZE Foundation, the world's leader in designing and operating incentive competitions to solve humanity's grand challenges. Anousheh's family sponsored the first XPRIZE, which sparked the private space industry by offering $10 million for the first private organization to launch a reusable manned spacecraft into space twice within 2 weeks. She's also well known for being the first female private space explorer. Prior to joining XPRIZE, Anousheh was the Chief Executive Officer of Proteus Systems, an IoT company she co-founded in 2006. In this episode, we discuss XPRIZE's Pandemic Alliance, a global coalition of corporate, academic, and non-governmental partners focused on accelerating solutions to the coronavirus pandemic. In the short term, that means expanding visibility into solutions underway in areas such as remote care and access to testing. We also discuss the XPRIZE Data Collaborative, which provides access to exclusive data sets and artificial intelligence capabilities, how XPRIZE facilitates resource and idea sharing between Alliance members, and why XPRIZE is well positioned to bring together uncommon partners to tackle this historic challenge.
Anousheh Ansari, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Great to be part of the podcast.
Well, thank you. Anousheh, I wanted to begin with the XPRIZE Pandemic Alliance that you have been a part of, and a really interesting set of activities trying to find the innovators who will help get us out of this pandemic. And I wonder if you could just take a moment to give it a bit of background into the prize itself.
Sure. So as a foundation, we have been focused over the past 25 years on how we can harness the innovative energy, the creative energy of the crowd to solve the big challenges in the world. And normally what we do is our foundation is focused on long-term problems that humanity faces, really grand challenges where there is a lack of activity, whether it's in the public sector or the private sector, and that innovation and breakthroughs are not happening at a rapid pace. So through a lens of a competition, through the platform of the competition we create a lot of awareness, we frame the problem, and by that, by the means of the competition, we create activities and interests and sort of get the creative juices of the crowd going in terms of coming out with very specific solutions that we believe will actually solve the problem, not just in a small way, but really push the boundaries and really solve the challenge in a massive way. That's why usually our prize, as we say, it's on the sort of the edge of audacious, but possible. So when we actually were talking about the theme for some of our work for next year, we usually have a gathering end of the year, and the theme that we had selected for 2020 for our gathering in October was existential threats to humanity. And of course, one of those topics is pandemic. So we've been looking at this and not knowing that we will actually be facing it sooner than later. And when COVID-19 pandemic started really affecting every aspect of everyone's life around the globe, we felt that we have to put our collective group of innovators, sponsors, or network of organizations that have been working with us in the past together and basically put a call to action. And Anthem, as one of the organizations that had been involved with XPRIZE in the past, came to us and basically joined forces with us to launch this platform, and we announced the Pandemic Alliance. I think now it's about over two weeks ago. And the goal was basically to bring everyone who's working on a solution, whether it's on early detection, on predictive modeling, on a vaccine, on how to a better solution on distribution of essential needs and equipment, and just creating a platform where people can offer what they have, and also state their needs and be able to be sort of the matchmaker, the match.com for the research and scientific community who are working on solutions to the pandemic. And through this conversation, also bring our data collaborative that we have created for the use of our competitions and the teams that compete in our prizes, as a platform where the researchers and the scientists can share information, share data, access data and information that the Alliance partners are offering, such as Anthem, and this way advance their work and hopefully get to the answers faster. And the areas that we see there may be a gap, then we will be launching challenges to bring extra attention and extra resources and innovative thinking to solve those problems.
That's excellent. And I realize, Anusha, it's still early days, but can you talk a bit about the timeline and any progress that you're already beginning to see?
Yes. So we've been actually very successful in a very short period of time, attracting a lot of great institutions and individuals and corporations to our alliance. Anthem, as I mentioned, was the first one to the table, but we have Intel, who has joined as well, and Department of Veterans Affairs, the innovation arm, has also joined with us. Many universities such as UCLA, UC Irvine, MIT Solve, and I can give you a list of all of the partners who've joined, because I don't have that in front of me, so I don't want to not mention all of them, but there are many universities, McGill University, for example, who launched a ventilator prize, that they have some solutions they've received already. So we're helping them scale through connecting them with manufacturers around the globe. MIT Solve as well, they had a ventilator competition. So we're trying to help the innovators they selected as the winners with ways to scale their production. And then we have individuals who also have join forces with us to help us as the brain trust, as the people who have one way or another seen problems like this or worked in this area from either public health or from a data science or from just, you know, creating different solutions for protective gear, for testing. So we have been very fortunate to be able to create an amazing group that we call them the Pandemic Task Force. And our Pandemic Task Force has, they had their first meeting where they identified several areas that they're, you know, basically helping us focus our efforts and energies. A lot of it has to do basically looking at, you know, treatment models and testing and see where we are and how those can be improved. We're also looking at, you know, the, as you can imagine, data is at the core of a lot of the research and scientific models and data interoperability, the sharing of those data, the different sets of data across the globe. Ability to do that in a way that the information stays private and safe and secure, you know, finding ways to connect different clinical trials and the infrastructure needed to be able to share information much more easily, but also still in a safe and secure manner. Some of those are at the core of our work.
Mm-hmm. That's a great overview. Thank you. And as there may be people listening here, certainly a number of technology executives who make up a good portion of my audience, what are you looking for continued partnership or additional alliances or additions to the alliance that you've developed?
That's a great question. So we're looking at both immediate and short-term, as well as midterm and long-term solution. As you can imagine, the immediate and short-term solutions are what you hear on the news a lot around the PPEs and the supplies to the frontline health workers. If there are organizations that want to use our platforms to be able to connect to those resources or offer resources that they have or alternative means of getting to those resources, like the, as I mentioned, like MIT Solve and McGill had these innovators that they had selected as their competition winners for ventilators solutions. So those are some areas that we don't have a lot, but we have some activities. So we would love to help immediately as much as we can. In the midterm, I think we're looking for anyone who can provide us with, you know, very interesting and unique data sets that can help make both the modeling more accurate, because one of the issues that the public, the decision makers, the policy makers are facing is that the models continuously change themselves because the models are as good as the data that we feed them, and the data is a lot of cases incomplete, or the samples are small, too small. And that's why we've seen all these changes that, you know, we continuously hear on the news from policymakers. So having much broader data sets that can be shared across different countries, different domains, and the layering of this data together can really lead to better predictive models that can help then policymakers and decision makers do a better risk assessment and make better decisions. So that's an area that we definitely would love to have any type of data from just weak signals, any company who has products that can be an indicator of outbreaks or behaviors. So that type of data. Of course, all of it will be anonymized. So we don't want individual personal data. We just want trending data. So mobility data will be helpful. And then on the health side, any of the labs that are doing the testing, if they can share testing data, that again, anonymized, but understanding the percentages of, you know, with the demographic information, percentages that test positive, test negative, or that test positive that are not showing symptoms, especially those types of information will be invaluable for the researchers who are working on solutions and models to help us figure out what's the best course of action for us.
As the CEO of the XPRIZE Foundation, how does the XPRIZE Pandemic Alliance build off of or relate to other XPRIZEs?
So it's interesting because, as I said, this is actually something we've never done before. We our core competency and business has been around creating very large competitions. But what we do normally in course of a competition is a convening of many different stakeholders. So during the design process, we really spend a lot of time understanding who are the players, who are the stakeholders, who will benefit from this, who's suffering from the problem, and all the different angles. So through all this past 25 years and all of our prizes, as I mentioned, we've really created a wide variety of communities that scientific communities that we tap into and ask them questions and advice and direction. We have worked with a lot of the educational and higher education institutions around the globe, and we also have worked with, of course, a lot of companies. So this power of convening was something that was very helpful to us when we wanted to do this rapid response. Just, you know, doing a mass email and a few phone calls, we had some of the best minds who were working on this, happy and available to collaborate with us, because they also understand that while this is an incredible tragedy, what's happening and people losing their life, it's something that we need to learn from and make sure that we're better prepared, because this is not going to be the last time it happens. The underlying issues that cause this type of pandemics is actually lies in our food supply, and it's around our environment and how all of the environmental issues that Experts was working on before the pandemic happened, you know, sort of contributes to the spread and the frequency of these types of pandemics. So, you know, it's important to for the scientific community that we were able to bring together to make sure that we not only focus on helping people now, but that we are putting on a lens of how can we learn from these, you know, from all the mistakes that has been made and will be making, and make sure that we are gathering enough information and creating an infrastructure of collaboration that can help us actually hopefully prevent pandemics from happening and create perhaps an early warning system so we can detect signals that will allow us to, you know, prevent pandemics from ever becoming pandemics. And I'm also very proud that our work, even before this, was actually addressing some of those underlying causes that would hopefully reduce chances of pandemics as we make progress in solving those grand challenges that we all talk about, whether it's finding better and more clean food supply chains, addressing global warming issues and environmental issues. Water is another area of, you know, that can be cause of pandemics in the future. So we've, those are all things on our hit list. We, earlier this year, we announced our Rainforest Prize. We know, the reduction in rainforest and the biodiversity in rainforest and issues there also, causes pandemics. It's, a wide variety of issues that always comes up. And, so, We want to solve the problem now, but we cannot lose the sight of the bigger problem that we have to solve unless we're going to face another kind of virus, you know, in the near future again.
Mm. You've had a remarkable career. You've been an entrepreneur multiple times over, having founded Telecom Technologies in 1993, as the name suggests, a firm that focused on technology for the telecommunications industry. In 2006, you founded Protea Systems, the technology and services management organization. You're still the executive chairwoman of that organization. I mentioned earlier, of course, you are the XPRIZE Foundation CEO. How, as busy as your schedule is and the number of things that you're involved in, how do you organize your own time, splitting it between the various areas in which you have leadership responsibilities?
I have succumbed the Borg technology, so I just regenerate every 3 days and am able to work 24/7.
Very good. Very good. That's a good answer.
No, but I, right now, to be honest with you, all of my focus and energy is at XPRIZE, and that's where I am very, very happy and excited to have been part of XPRIZE Foundation from early days when my family and I sponsored the first prize, and I've been serving on the board. So I've seen the organization grow to an incredible, unique platform for putting philanthropic dollars towards solving massive problems in a way that I've never seen before. And not only that, a way of, you know, I come from the for-profit side. So looking at how every dollar is leveraged 10 times or more in outside investment, solving a problem, that's also a very unique model of XPRIZE. So I've been blessed with an incredible team here, and being able to really look at these big problems and look at it with a hopeful lens, and know that there is some clever young woman sitting, you know, in her dormitory at a college thinking of solutions to these problems. And we just need to find her or anyone else who is working on these problems around the globe and giving them an opportunity and incentive, a sort of a knock on their door to solve these problems is what excites me every day. And this, you know, the issue we're all facing now and the urgency of it has made me believe even more in our work and the importance of it, and that, you know, the enthusiasm of the scientists and researchers who've joined forces with us on solving these problems tells me that there are no problems out there, that with cooperation and the creative minds around the globe that we won't be able to solve. So I'm hopeful and happy to be able to be the convening sort of place for these great minds to come together and solve our problems for us.
Yeah, what a remarkable position to be in. I wanted to close by mentioning that you were the first private female spaceflight participant. And, you know, as I was reflecting upon that, it's interesting, for a time you were, although you were with other people, of course, in space, you were isolated from the rest of mankind in a way that few understand. Now we're in a situation where most of mankind is isolated from each other, even if we may be just a few feet away. If we live in apartments or condominiums, or if we have homes that are close together, we are largely isolated from each other. And I wonder if there's anything that you draw from your lessons, having been in space and being so far from your loved ones and from all of humanity, in fact, during these times.
Sure. So one thing I've learned from that experience is that as human beings, we're very adaptable. So no matter what the situation or what changes, eventually we find a way to adapt. And we can make it hard on ourselves, or we can make it easy. Of course, for me, because I wanted to be in space, the adaptation was much easier for me. When a situation is forced on you, you first resist it. So, but eventually you adapt. But the things that helps, and it has helped me back then, whether it was during the quarantine periods before the flight or during the mission itself, is that when you establish a set of routines for yourselves and you you're able to sort of follow a new pattern for yourself, it helps you adapt to the situation faster. And occupying your mind with you know, interesting things, and making sure that you're not just sitting there worrying. One thing that I never do is I try not to do as often. You can't help it. But worrying is something that is just nervous energy that doesn't help anything. So instead, turning that energy into either learning something new, satisfying your curiosity, or putting it towards building something, solving a problem, it's always something that has kept me very interested. And also physical activity is another thing that gets the stress out for me. And whether it's on a space station when there's a treadmill and I would run on the treadmill in station, or even before going to space during the training or the isolation and quarantine. Physical activity always creates the happy chemicals in your brain and makes you feel better. And also, it's just generally good for your health. So those would be my advice.
Well, great advice that it is. Anna Shan, I'm sorry, thank you so much for taking time with me today on Technovation. It's been great to learn a bit about your perspectives as the CEO of XPRIZE Foundation, the remarkable work that you, in collaboration with so many others, are doing as part of the Pandemic Alliance, as well as to learn a little bit more about your background prior to this. It's been a great conversation. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Melanie Kalmar, Corporate Vice President, Chief Information Officer, and Chief Digital Officer of Dow.